Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. I'm Carol Knyer, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. I want to welcome you and thank you for listening this morning. And so I know it's not February yet, but it will be in a couple of days. So I usually, my yearly routine, how would I say that, Nadine? Because that's my guest today.
Okay. I don't know, our annual get together in February because of what I do.
Right. And so for those of you that are listening for the first time, I have on my show Nadine Greco, and Nadine is the coordinator for our cardiac rehab program at Way Memorial Hospital.
Yes. It's coming at, believe it or not, it's going to be 30 years in May.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm going 29 in March. So
okay. I know you're right behind me. We've talked about this before.
We have. We always mention that how far Nadine and I have gone back together. We did our master's program together at Marywood University, and we have stayed friends for all these years, which is just awesome.
Yeah, it's always good to have true friends and, you know,
right,
someone that you can talk with.
And speaking of true friends and friendship, you know, today's topic is, you know, it's Heart Month for February. We're going to talk about National Wear Red Day. But when someone is very close to you, they are in your heart, and how important that is, right? And how important love is and taking care of yourself to keep your heart healthy is, correct?
Yeah, that's important because it is the number one killer of men and women in this country. So I think a lot of times we're just so busy with everything else, we put our health second.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So tell us a little bit. February 4th, right, is National Wear Red Day. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, well, basically, it's an annual thing where we bring awareness to women's and heart disease, that it is the number one killer of women in this country, and we ask everyone to wear red that day. Men and women, kids, just wear red that day in observance of just being aware that it is the number one killer of women in this country.
Right, and you know, I think, you know, people have always under the assumption that, you know, men are more risk for heart disease. You know, we see more men and stuff like that. And typically, you know, we do see sometimes younger men die of heart disease. But women's risk kind of, like you said, outweighs men sometimes as we get older too, right?
Right. And I'm glad you said that because basically more men do have, you know, heart disease than women. But once a woman goes through menopause and her estrogen levels go down, her risk of heart disease goes up because of that loss of estrogen. And at probably around 75, it starts to peak even higher than men in terms of heart disease.
Right. And I think what happens too is what we see is women do present differently than men, right, when it comes to heart disease or even a heart attack, right?
Right. Symptom-wise, men and women, you know, you could have your classical chest pain with men and women, but women typically tend to have sometimes their angina or angina equivalent would be jaw pain up into the neck, into the jaw area. And you would think it's maybe your teeth, but it could be a symptom for heart disease, especially in women, and also pain between the shoulder blades, upper GI discomfort, shortness of breath. Any change in your health, as, mm-hmm. especially if you have multiple risk factors for heart disease, is something that needs to be looked into with your physician and not really, you know, put in the back of your mind here that it's going to go away, especially if it starts to get continuously worse with exertion, something
right.
Exertional.
Exactly. And, you know, thank you for sharing those, you know, signs and symptoms. But it's also important, too, to have a primary care doctor, right? And and have that yearly exam and have that open conversation with them.
Why do we have our cars inspected? Why do we have, you know, go get our tires changed and, you know, oil changes? Same thing with ourselves. We must probably at least a yearly checkup, if not every 6 months. That's where you're going to pick up things. Because as we age, you know how a car breaks down, our bodies break down and we're at higher risk for different types of conditions or diseases.
Right. And you know, in this day and age, unfortunately, with COVID, with many stressors in our life, you know, what may have been not a problem could become a problem when it comes to heart disease, correct?
Right. It can be. And I think the thing is that because of COVID, people are staying away from physician offices or whatever. And especially now with the overrun that there was with COVID in the emergency rooms, people were staying away from the emergency room, especially if they had chest pain or something else like that. And that's very important that you must address those type of symptoms.
Right, right. So we talked about the symptoms. What about the risk factors? Do you look at family history, you know, things like that?
You know, I look at family history. I know a lot of times people will say to me, I know it's genetically, this is why. But you know what? If you were to look at your risk factors, yes, genetics plays a role. If you do know you have a family history, I think you need to do something about it before something happens. Number one, in terms of taking care of yourself prior to knowing this, we should all know our family history. Smoking, it's a big thing around here is cigarette smoking, tobacco chewing, you know, high blood pressure. A lot of times people are walking around not knowing they have high blood pressure, being sedentary, being overweight or obese. I'm just trying to think.
What about alcohol? Is that...
Alcohol could play a role, especially in increasing blood pressure. Alcohol puts calories on, so you could be overweight from it. I think, you know, sometimes you have a poor diet, maybe when you don't, if you're drinking quite a bit. I'm not saying it's, you know, a glass of wine here or there is not a good thing. But I think you really have to look at all those things. If you have arthritis, an inflammatory condition that can contribute to heart disease. I hope I'm not missing anything. I'm just trying to think of some things more risk factor wise.
Right. And I know, you know, as more and more research, you know, comes about, we know that there are more and more risk factors that are added onto that list for heart disease. Like one that you talked about was inflammation. You know, many people don't think that chronic inflammation, they're in pain, but it definitely can affect the heart. You know, and so, you know, what are some of the things that they can do on a regular basis to kind of help reduce their risk? What about eating healthy?
Well, I have a high cholesterol was the other one I didn't think of. I think the thing is to, you know, write down your risk factors. And if you know, you know, there are things that you can change, there's some you can't and some you can. The ones that you can change, start working on them. It doesn't mean that tomorrow you're going to like work on all five risk factors, but if you have, if you smoke cigarettes, try to cut down. I mean, if that's the only way you're going to do it, or ask your doctor for some help with nicotine patches or whatever,
right?
Or go to a program to quit smoking. You know, there's things we can do. We just got to reach out and do them, or ask for help from whether it's a dietitian to help with your diet. Diabetes was the other one I didn't mention. I'm telling you right now, 2 times higher risk or even more. People are just, we're seeing a lot more diabetics in our cardiac rehab program. And I don't know if it's, you know, management wise or people are just not wanting to take medications. It's personal responsibility. I know we could only do so much for these people.
And, you know, many of the things that you talk about are preventable or changeable. You know, people can stop smoking. I'm not saying it's easy because, you know, it, you know, I've done smoking cessation classes with, you know, someone from AHAC, and, you know, it can take people up to, you know, 2 or 3 times to stop smoking, but the help is there. You know, changing your dietary habits, exercise, things like that. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you see the people after they have a heart attack, you know, and so you know firsthand what can work and what can prevent that. But do you want to talk a little bit about your cardiac rehab program? Because I'm sure there are individuals out there that may benefit.
You know, national statistics show that there's a low incidence in terms of referral to cardiac rehab. Only about probably 11% are referred to cardiac rehab, at the most maybe 20% of patients. And I know with COVID, that's a hard thing right now of wanting to come out. But the only thing I'm really, if you're not going to come to a program, you got to move. You got to start slow with some walking or something. But basically, our program has been, like I said, in existence. It's going to be 30 years. You need a referral from your physician. You have to have certain conditions like a recent heart attack within the last 12 months, bypass surgery within the last 12 months. It can't be 10 years ago because you should have been referred sooner. Had a valve repair, replacement, a heart transplant, angioplasty with stent, congestive heart failure with certain criteria. I'm just trying to think of stable angina. So there are certain criteria for some of the conditions for cardiac rehab, but your regular doctor or cardiologist can refer you. And then we'll do an evaluation. And, you know, this is the thing. I really, you know, I know there have been people in our program, I'm telling you right now, who have worked very hard. And some of them are probably have harder workouts than I do, which is embarrassing. But anyway, people work hard in it and they get so much better and their confidence is raised and they're back to being normal people. And if probably in better condition than they were before their heart attack or event.
Right. And that's important for individuals to know, you know, if you have had a cardiac event, you know, hopefully you did get the help because you can prevent another one from happening.
Yeah. And it makes me sad when I see things that probably could have been prevented, mm-hmm. you know, sooner when, especially I hear symptoms or something could have been done before they had the event. Like I said, a heart attack. And then, you know, I wish I had talked to them prior or, and I'm sure this is a day and age where there was information out there.
Right.
We don't live in caves.
Right.
I keep saying that. So,
and I think, you know, like you said, in today's day and age, you know, primary care doctors are focused on the whole person. You know, I know, you know, our community health centers, when you see the physician, you know, they look at someone's weight, they ask them if they smoke and drink, you know, those are kind of, I know when I go for my physical, that's the common questions they ask. And, you know, they are there to help you to get the referrals that you need, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, if someone was told by their doctor they should exercise, what are some of the recommendations that you would make for them?
The first thing, if your doctor tells you you should exercise, is, okay, well, then give me some guidance, number mm-hmm. one. I mean, you always want to start out slow. You always want to have that checkup to make sure that everything is fine. If you're taking medication, you have to be compliant with it. And like I said, don't push yourself to the point where, you know, you're exhausted the first day. You'll never do it again. Mm-hmm. Find a buddy, find someone to walk with you. If you need help, join a fitness center where they have people that could, you know, help you.
Right.
But if you basically say, you know, I don't want to do that. I'm not that type of person to go to a gym. Start off slow and walk. Mm-hmm. All mm-hmm. you have to do is get a good pair of walking sneakers or shoes and, you know, start off slow.
Right.
And try to every week increase your distance or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you're having issues, some kind of symptoms, go back and see your doctor.
Right, right. That's important, is to get to know your body and stuff like that. You know, I just want to kind of talk to a little bit, got to throw that in there, is our in-school walking program. We did start that again this year, which is really exciting. We have almost 190 people registered for wow. the, you know, seven or nine different schools in our area that That's open great. Up their doors. So if people, you know, want to start getting out there, because, you know, when it snows and it's icy, we don't want you walking outside. It's too dangerous. But, you know, you can come in the schools and walk the school hallways, you know, right. And that's a slow start, which right. can prepare someone, right, for the springtime when the weather gets nice and they can go outside.
Right, because in the wintertime, everybody's more sedentary. And mm-hmm. what happens? Holidays came around, people gained weight, and it was easy to put that calories in, and here's the weight. So the bottom line is movement, movement, movement. And that's when we stop. Mm-hmm. And then we start back up doing things in the spring, and we're really out of shape. So if you want to continue to right, you know, where you left off in the fall doing activities, you got to keep doing it.
Right.
And I, like I said, I don't care if it's walking in your basement. I don't care if it's walking in the school, walking in the mall, Home Depot, walk around in there or something.
Right.
Whatever. But just keep moving.
Exactly. Because it's amazing how movement can really help prevent certain things from happening.
Right. Right.
Really?
Well, you know, not just heart disease. We're talking osteoporosis. There's just a lot.
Diabetes,
helping you lose weight.
Right.
Controlling
right.
your blood sugars, exercise. So it has a multifactorial type of benefit, mm-hmm. exercise.
Which is, you know, which is your specialty.
For oh, those, yeah.
You know?
I know.
I can't believe, you know, we literally only have a minute left of our time. You know, we can probably talk for hours when we start these shows.
And I keep saying, yeah, we'll just have to talk for hours at another time.
Yes, yes. So, you know, I have Nadine Greco here. She is our coordinator for our cardiac rehab at Wayne Memorial Hospital. So just kind of get that plug again for February 4th and also Cardiac Rehab Week,
February the 13th through the 19th. So show appreciation for your cardiac rehab, professionals and tell them thank you for, taking care of me. And we certainly enjoy taking care of everybody in this community.
Right. You have done an amazing job, with this program here. Really. Thank you. For everything that you do for our community.
Quick number, in case you need to get in touch with us, 570-253-8253.
Right. And they do pick up the phone, so it's not a phone tree.
We'll see if your name shows up, but whatever.
But you could leave a message if they're not there.
Or if we're busy.
Right, again. So, Nadine, thank you so much for being on the show. Remember, February 4th, wear red.
Wear red.
Right, so we want to see you out there on the streets because we know that you listen to our radio show if you're wearing red.
Yeah, be there, be here, be there, be square, okay?
Do it. So, again, this is Carol Kanai, your Way Memorial Community Health Manager. Nadine, thank you for being on the show today.
I greatly and truly appreciate it. Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome. Again, have a great day, and thank you for listening.